Welcome to Module 15 on this MVA course on workload automation with System Center Orchestrator. I'm Simon Perriman from Five9 Software, and joined again by Gordon McKenna from Infromon, who's also an MVP. In this module, we're going to be taking a look at integration with Microsoft Azure. I'm going to kick it over to you, Gordon. Take it away.
Thanks, Simon. One of the more recent and interesting integration packs is the Azure IP for Orchestrator. So I'm going to give you a quick overview over this. We're going to talk about registration and deployment. I'm going to talk about connection configuration activities. I'm going to give you a demo of us connecting into Azure. We're going to look at some best practices, and then we're going to look at how you can acquire this integration pack. So the Azure integration pack has a number of key activities that can be used to automate tasks in Azure that include things like storage accounts, adding a virtual machine instance from an IaaS perspective, creating a VM deployment, adding and starting a VM instance, shutting down a VM instance, and upgrading a deployment. Also as well, we could do things like update elements of an operating system image as well.
I think one important clarification around this Azure integration pack, though, it is really targeted for IaaS scenarios, not so much focused for dev, PaaS, or SaaS type of things. So kind of just keep that in mind. It's more kind of that infrastructure focus, deploying, operating, monitoring those VMs, and the related fabric components.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, it's one of, if you think about from an automation orchestration point of view, IaaS is probably one of the kind of starting points that you want to interact. So, what's interesting here is, if you had a hybrid cloud scenario where you're running Azure and you're running a virtual machine manager on a private cloud, you could actually, in theory, have a page that a user goes to where they can actually have a choice of spinning up a quick VM in Azure or kind of spinning out a virtual machine template in Virtual Machine Manager and really kind of enable a hybrid cloud scenario behind the covers. So deploying the integration pack is we first have to register the integration pack in the deployment manager so it's registered against the orchestrator management server. We then deploy the integration pack to the relevant runbooks and servers that we want to run for that. And not forgetting our runbook designers, otherwise we're not going to be able to edit and work with the activity objects. We then have to confirm that the integration pack has actually been registered and deployed before moving on to the next stage. So the next stage is to open up our runbook designer, go to the options menu, and click the Windows Azure entry that's in there. We then add a new connection, and then we configure the type as Azure management configuration settings. We then have to enter the following properties of the connection, and this is a little bit different to some of the other type connection properties, because obviously we're going across the net and we're connecting to a REST API. So first thing I need is the Azure endpoint that I'm connecting to, and that's pretty much the same endpoint for everybody. That's management.core.windows.net. We then specify our PFX file password and our PSX file path. So if people aren't familiar with this, within the Azure console, we have a kind of management section in there where we specify management certificates that allow us to connect to that console. And these are typically PFX files. They're CER files in Azure, but they're PFX files that we have on-premise. So in here, we specify the PFX file and the PFX file path that corresponds to the .CER certificate that we've got in our Azure management section. We then have to put the most important thing in here, which is the subscription ID. And actually, you can see that these are kind of blanked out in here from a security point of view. And, typically people would create multiple connections with different security permissions or different Azure subscriptions. You might have five or six Azure subscriptions. Therefore, I might have five or six connection settings that are in here. So let's look at some of the activities. So we can add an operating system image. That might be off one that I've got pre-canned in my library. I can add a VM data disk to a virtual machine that's existing. I can copy a blob from a blob storage from one place to another. I can create a cloud service, which is a fundamental cornerstone of Azure. And everything in Azure comes out of that cloud service that we do. I can create a deployment for my virtual machine, that's readying a virtual machine role, ready for deployment. I can then start a virtual machine instance. I can upgrade a deployment, so I can change the parameters within a deployment and change kind of some of the fundamental storage and compute factors on that. I can add a service certificate to a particular deployment as well. I might have a new service certificate that I've created. I can also capture a VM instance if I want to kind of save that down. So that a common scenario around the capture VM instance, I might be running a test machine. I might be finished that test machine, and I just want to capture that VM instance before I actually delete that test machine. So I've got a copy of it if I need to use it again. I can create an affinity group for my virtual machine. So an affinity group is around availability of that VM. I can also create a container, and I can also get the operational status. That's just a number of activities I can and access. And actually something that Simon, you mentioned earlier was about the difference between an activity and activity set. And this is a really good example. Maybe you want to talk about that.
Sure, yeah. So as we look at the activities versus activity sets, remember an activity is a single object and an activity set is a group related to a similar theme. So for example, you might be taking a look at virtual machines in Azure. And as you go and deploy that virtual machine related activity, it'll break it down and give you different options. But for my tip, I'm actually going to ask Gordon a question on this one. I really want to know, what are the best practices around connecting to remote systems with Orchestrator, where you have to perform tasks with some regularity, yet the system could be only available over a WAN, such as Microsoft Azure, or some remote data center where you don't have the ability to go and place your runbook server. What are kind of the best practices around managing automation tasks when you have to go send this information over perhaps an unreliable WAN link?
Okay, so really good question. And you know, the answer there really is to make sure that you have good timeout in your connection. So good retry intervals. And these would be a little bit more specific than maybe you would have on a normal connection, a more reliable connection. So, and also building retries into your runbooks is another good practice. So, you know, if a connection doesn't exist, you could maybe retry that 3 times before you actually bomb that runbook out. So, you know, those are good for you to bring that up. And in these type of scenarios where you might have a low bandwidth scenario, you really have to think about the nature of your runbook and how you can kind of build that kind of fault tolerance into it. So I think we'll jump in and have a look at a demo now. So I've actually got a simple demo where I'm going to actually connect to Azure, and I'm going to choose an activity here. And just to show you here, you talked about that activity set. An activity set is where I have a single item, but I have multiple different ways that I can use that. So the activity that I've got for Azure Virtual Machine Disk, if I go to my list here, you can see I can add a VM disk, delete a VM disk, list VM disk, add VM, delete data, get VM disk data. This one here, I'm actually going to list my VM disks that are available. And I'm actually going to output those to a text file that I've got locally, which is my Azure text. And you can see that the text is going to be pulled from the data bus of that first activity that I do. Let me kind of run this from my runbook designer here. So I'm just going to kind of pull this down a second. And I'm going to do my runbook test on this. And let's hope my reliable connection is going to hold up and I'm going to get my data out here. So there we go. So I've actually just checked in, and you can see as we go down, all of the different disks that I've got in my environment are being outputted. I'm just going to go big on this again and look at my local file here. And you can see there's my Azure disk file that's been created. And here I have a list of the different disks that I've got. And these are the kind of names that have been created. And most of these have been created on the fly as I create my virtual machines. So I've got the exact name. And I can actually see the other output that I've got here is how big that particular disk is. So I might go and, for example, if I'm creating a runbook where I'm working out what capacity I need. So I might have a user go to a portal. I might have some options that I present available to the user on particular disks that are in there. And I might also, as part of this runbook, check capacity to see whether I'm within quota, for example, in there as well. Okay, so I'm in the Azure Virtual Machine properties here, and in the Choose Activity section, again, because this is an activity set, you can see that I've got a number of different things like add a VM, restart a VM, shut down a VM, update a VM. So I can very much add this into my workflow, pick a particular activity that I want to do, specify that, and then just check that out. So very powerful management pack. Again, can really enable some kind of IT as a service type scenarios again with that. So let's just jump back to our PowerPoint. and talk about some best practices. So again, you know, use multiple connections with different security permissions, probably in this instance for different subscriptions that I run. Ensure that the credentials specified in the connection are appropriate to the runbooks that you're going to run as well. So make sure I've got permission in Azure to be able to do that. Test the runbooks using the runbook tester wherever you can, like I've showed you here. And add error handling activities to capture error logs for troubleshooting purposes. Finally, a quick search on Bing will allow you to kind of go to the download site and download the integration pack. And then, of course, we have Scorch Center, a new site in town. And if you go to scorchcenter.com/IP list, you can actually list not only all of the Microsoft management packs and where to get them, but also third-party packs and also some great community content that some of my fellow MVPs have added.
Great. Well, Godard, thanks again for going over that. Hopefully you see value here, and you can see one of the strengths of Microsoft as we're really trying to invest in not just the public cloud model, but our hybrid cloud model. Thanks again for joining us as we've gone through a whole lot of different automation solutions and monitoring best practices for all of our different workloads. Thank you.